This is part two of a Bible teaching by David Ebal titled The Missing Tribes.
I'm English and I'm French and I'm, Irish and German. My name is German, but it seems like all my German forefathers caught the eye of these other girls, the English and the Irish girls and so forth, so I've got a lot, all this mixture. So the name Ebach is directly, it's a German name, right over to Germany through Switzerland. But anyway, these fellows here, Dan, Mark, are you following this basic idea of what I'm trying to project? These guys produced then sodomy and prostitution, and out of Denmark, out of the Scandinavian countries, this is what we have today. Now, we know that Ephraim is also England, but how many know that Manasseh is generally considered to be the United States of America? Is that all right? Yes, Manasseh is considered the United States. We'll get into that. I can't prove it, but it's generally considered by those who study it. But Ephraim, there's certainly reason to believe that Ephraim is England. Now, Ephraim became the false kings. Maybe that's why Charlie is the pretender to the throne, because the English throne is a pretended throne. I'm going to say that again. It was 200 years ago that my forefathers were over here fighting those guys. And 200 years later, I want to tell you something. That's a pretended throne. Are you hearing me? Though we came from there, though we passed the shores, and though my forefathers and mothers were English and came from the British Empire, still I want you to know it's a pretended throne. It's an Ephraim throne. Well, they may have the stone of Scone, but remember that those northern 10 tribes came down and stole all that kind of stuff. Were you hearing me or not? Now, British Israelites don't teach you this, so I want you to pay attention. I believe in the basic, and I believe that everybody here ought to go hear some teacher who teaches British Israelism. Are you hearing me? But I want you to see the difference between natural British Israel and spiritual Israel. Are you hearing this difference? Because some scriptures that we have to study are literal, some are symbolic, and some are spiritual. Now, if this is upsetting you and I'm rubbing your fur the wrong way, then I apologize and I love you. I want you to try to love me and pray that God will change me, not kill me. There is a group in Washington that meets every week that prays that God will kill me. Really, literally, there's a fella in Washington that prays that God will kill me because he feels that what we teach is a threat and threatens the same way that this guy Jeroboam was threatened in John chapter 12, the same way that the Pharisees were threatened, said, if we let this man continue, we'll lose our position. If his, if his teachings catch on, it'll wipe us out. Well, there are those who really do feel upset with this kind of thing, these kind of teachings, but I found out something else. Over the years, it used to be that when I was in denomination, we caught that or not, when I felt that my denomination held the answer for all my problems and troubles, and my security and all those kind of things. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? But then I got out of that kind of thing and began to see that my God is in charge of everything and that I put my trust in Him and I look to Him. So maybe you'd like to agree with me in prayer the way I do. Pray to the Lord and I say, Lord, where I'm wrong, change me. Don't kill me. Is that a reasonable prayer request? Next time you think of me, would you make that prayer request? Maybe you can outdo the others. And I hope that this... Really, I'm serious. I'm playing it down, but this is a very serious thing to me. You understand this? Really, it's very serious and very upsetting to me. But I'm playing it down, so I'm asking the Heavenly Father to change me, not kill me. But you can understand when you begin to see why I'm such a threat when I'm trying to say that these people are producing the sodomy and the pornography. And the Ephraims, the English people, are producing the false kingly line. The false kings come from England. The false Prince Charlie, pretender to the throne. The false kings come from England. But the true kings are now going to come from, of all people, what? There it is. We thought that the scepter should not depart from who? Well, let's read that scripture again and find out what it does say about the scepter departing from Judah. This will be over in Genesis. Genesis chapter 49, and I shall read about Judah, verse 8. Genesis 49, verse 8. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey. My son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He crouched as a lion, as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. I'd like to talk to you about Shiloh for a minute, because as far as I'm concerned, Shiloh is part of the word shalom, and that comes from peace, and we know who the Prince of Peace is. What? Jesus Christ. Well, if Jesus Christ, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be, Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, then would you agree that Shiloh has come? Now, this was a prophecy. It was yet to occur in future back then, but I believe it's past, though many people believe it's future. I believe it's past. I believe Shiloh has come. I believe his name is Jesus Christ. There are some who believe that the word Shiloh is the branch, but that fits too. Because when Jesus Christ came, then we became the branch, because Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the... And so Shiloh has already come. Now, if Shiloh has already come, that also means that the scepter has...
departed.
Say it real loud.
Departed.
The scepter has departed from Judah because Shiloh has come. Well, if the scepter has departed from Judah because Shiloh came, then that means that the Scofield Reference Bible notes have to be adjusted. Is anybody upset? And some of the evangelical ideas about prophecy have to be changed. How many know that there are a lot of people in religious circles that are still waiting for the Jews to produce a king of the world? Isn't that right? They're still waiting. But I don't believe that the scepter is now in Judah, because I believe Shiloh's already come. Are you following this logic?
Mm-hmm.
How many have noticed I shook some things up a little bit already? Mm-hmm. Well, how many realized that when they were going to come here, they were going to have some things shaken? Isn't that one reason that a lot of people like to come to our teachings? Because they know that we're going to be looking at chapter and verse so that we can shake away some of the traditions. In the last days, he's going to shake everything so that only that that can stand will stand. And I want to shake away the idea of the scepter being in Judah right now and move the scepter to somewhere else. Now, how many already know where I'm going to move it? Mm-hmm. You got it. Well, Joseph, Manasseh, because Manasseh and Joseph are synonymous terms. In order, see, Ephraim and Israel are synonymous terms. Did you know that? Didn't you know that? Sometimes the Bible uses the word Ephraim, sometimes the word uses Israel for the northern ten tribes interchangeably. They're synonymous terms. Also, Joseph and Manasseh are synonymous. Let's read some more. But this time I'm in 49, but I'm going to skip over to verse 22. Now when I'm in verse 22, this is a prophecy. Who? To whom? Read it. Tell me. Joseph, right? Now, to whom was the last prophecy that I read?
Judah.
Now, those are Jews. Now we're over in Joseph. Joseph are not Jews. I'm going to say it again. Jews are the southern two tribes. Israel is either the total of all the 12 or the northern 10. Maybe I better say it again. All Jews are Israel, but not all Israel are Jews. Maybe I better try it again. All Chevrolets are automobiles, but not all automobiles are Chevrolets, except for the trucks. Or something like that. Well, and you get what I'm trying to say, don't you? Mm-hmm. Okay, all Volkswagens are cars, but not all cars are Volkswagens. Is that okay? You see what I'm driving at? All Jews are Israel, but not all Israel Jews. Okay. And also, the word Israel refers sometimes to the northern ten. But now I'm reading about Joseph, part of the northern ten, who is a fruitful bough. That's because he's a branch. I'm going to say it again. A bough is a branch. Even fruitful bough by a well, whose branches, the word branches is daughters, run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. Some of you have wisdom, ears to hear. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the mighty hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Okay. Where does the shepherd, the stone of Israel, come from? Judah?
Joseph.
You got it?
Mm-hmm.
This is in whose blessing?
Mm-hmm.
Joseph's blessing, not Judah's blessing. Now the shepherd, the stone of Israel, in my margin, it says that refers to Jesus. But Jesus didn't come from the tribe of Joseph. He came from the tribe of Judah. And I don't believe that's Jesus. Not the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Because when we met that stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands, you remember the stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands? And it tells us very clearly in Daniel that that stone came down and it rolled against the feet of that great image. Now the feet was made up, "Thou, O king, of the head of gold, Babylon's. After thee shall come a kingdom inferior unto thee, the silver Greeks. After the Greeks came the brass torso." The silver Medes and Persians. After that were the brass Greeks. And then came the iron Romans. You remember the iron Roman Empire? And after that came a ten-toed kingdom of a mixture of iron and clay, right? And in the last days, in the days of the Lord, those last days, there shall be set up a kingdom. There shall be under the Lord. But the thing that that kingdom set, that brings about the kingdom, is the stone that's cut out of the mountain without hands. And it comes rolling down the mountain and crushes the feet of that great image and blows it to powder, and then the stone begins to blow, to grow. And as the stone grows, it becomes a great mountain itself. Is that right? And finally, the mountain gets so big it fills the whole earth. And I'm talking about Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 8, when we find the same stone, but this time the stone has got seven eyes. And it tells in Revelation chapter 4, verse 5, chapter 5, verse 8, chapter 1, verse 19, that the eyes are the seven spirits of God. The seven spirits of God are the seven candlesticks. The seven candlesticks are the seven churches, and we are the seven churches. And what that means is that that great stone becomes us. And we are that stone. We are the sons of God, joint heirs with Christ. We are the ones who are going to smash the feet of that great image. And we are the ones, the body of Christ, are going to grow up to become a great mountain. And we are the ones, the body of Christ, are going to fill the whole earth. Are you hearing it? Praise God. It makes me feel religious already. But brother, now we are the sons of God. It didn't say we are the sons of God, because as many as are the son, as are led of the Spirit, they're the Kyrios of God. As we heard that or not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll say it again. The church is led by the fivefold ministry. The church is led by apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, but the sons of God are led by the Holy Spirit. Are you hearing it? You just got it, didn't you? There's an answer you've been looking for. Now, you see, we don't find any fault with church. Are you hearing us? Did you feel like we're against anybody? No, not at all. We need the church. We need to be led when we were little. But there comes a time when we grow up. When we leave, you know, when we grow up, when we leave the technon stage, the teenager stage, and we become helios, we don't need to be led by the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. We're led by the what? The Holy Spirit. Then we become sons of God, helios, manifested sons, led by the Holy Spirit. Then we become joint heirs with Christ. Then we can rule and reign. My friend, you cannot rule and reign while you're being led by some other man. I want to say that again. The only way to rule and reign is when you're covered, not with the covering of men, but covered by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Woe unto the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me, and cover with a covering but not of my Spirit, that they might add sin to sin. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 4. I'm going to say it again. Now, listen, we're not finding fault. Hear me carefully. We're not finding fault with apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. The reason we're not finding fault is I'm a teacher. Hallelujah. But let me tell you something else. He gave the fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints, for the unity of faith, till we come to the perfect man. Turn around and look at each other, please. I've looked you over and you still need me. Did you get it?
Yes,
we still need the fivefold ministry, because we're not curious of God. We are what? Technons of God. But the fivefold ministry must have as their goal working themselves out of a job.
Yes.
Instead of bringing people in to secure and set the hook and make them a part of their group, they should be causing them to grow up.
Amen.
And be able to be led of the Spirit and leave the group instead of being a part of it. I hope you're following what I'm getting at. In other words, if you're building a sheepfold, the purpose is to get sheep in so that you might build a sheepfold. But if you're building a synagogue or a school, the purpose is to build them and cause them to grow up so they'll leave. Wow. But you see, if you're a pastor, you build sheepfolds. If you're a teacher, you build schools. I don't know whether you're hearing this or not. We're not finding fault with the pastoral ministry. We've needed it for 2,000 years because we were dealing with lambs and sheep. Isn't that what Jesus said? And he was the chief shepherd. But that's not the end time. He first gave the apostles, then the prophets. So we started with the apostles, and we have 12 of them. Then we got the prophets, and then we had Ignatius and Polycarp and all these guys. Then we had the evangelists. Then we had the pastors. Now we have the what? And what's the call of every group? Send us what? Teachers. Don't you hear it? As you travel around the various places, they don't say send us pastors. They not anymore. They send us what? Send us teachers. Why? Because the people are realizing that they're not sheep anymore. Hey, hey, look, I'm an ugly duckling. How many ugly ducklings do we have here? Speckled birds, yes. You look like a bunch of speckled birds to me. Because you're not the same as all these other guys. Something cries out within you and says, send me a teacher, because I want to be under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father, because it's the kings and priests, the Son that is an heir, differ nothing from the servants, the other guys, though he is still Lord of all, but he's going right along in the same school under the tutors and governors. So what are people calling for now? Send us tutors. Send us governors. Send us a tutor that will teach me how to become a king. When Saul became the king, he said, I cannot become the king because I do not know how to go out and come in. I do not understand about kingly what to wear. I don't understand how kings walk. I don't understand how to blow the trumpets before the king. But after David became the king, he did because he watched. And he had a good tutor, and he learned, and so he became the king, and then he gave the kingdom to Solomon. So people are saying, send us tutors right now. Send us people who can teach us how to become kings and priests, join heirs with Christ. I don't know whether you hear me or not, but I believe the day of the apostle is over. I believe the day of the prophet is over. Not that we don't have apostles and prophets and evangelists, but the major emphasis of the ministry is not apostolic anymore, neither is it prophetic anymore. I don't even believe it's evangelical anymore, even though we still have a few evangelists, but how many have noticed that their impact is slowing down? But then we had the pastors, but this, I believe, is the reason for the big flap. I don't know whether you caught that, but there's a big, big flap right now between those shepherds and those teachers. Now, here's what happened. A few years ago, a bunch of people appeared on the scene. We thought they were teachers and found out they were... You heard it. I'll say it again. A few years ago, a bunch of people appeared on the scene. We thought they were teachers, and they ended up as what? So a lot of people were disappointed, those who have been moving in the Spirit, and they rebelled against it. So when they rebelled against it, they got some guys that owned some television stations and a few magazines together, and they had some meetings, and they began to get on those shepherds. Why? Because they thought they were teachers. And when they invited them into their groups, they thought they were inviting what? Teachers. But they found out the guys were really setting the hook to get them back under their own... Now you know what I'm talking about. How many had some letters in the last year, at least 8-page letters, about the big flap? Then you know what I'm talking about. Because there's a big argument now between shepherds and teachers. Are you hearing this? But you know something? There was a big argument 2,000 years ago between apostles and prophets. And then when the day of the evangelists came, the prophets didn't understand. Are you hearing? And that's the reason we're in a big flap right now, because the pastors can't get with it. And they're still dragging their feet about what's going on at the moment. They're still causing the people to think they're sheep. But the people have grown up now and they're not sheep. They started out as lambs, they turned into sheep, and now we're prince and princess, about ready to become manifest as kings and priests. You see what I'm getting at? This is just where we are. This is what it is. So the kings and priests are not under shepherds. The prince and princess are not under shepherds. They're under tutors. Are you hearing it? Tutors, yes. That's why all the people that have the Spirit within them are saying, send me what? Teachers. Tutors. Not. You're hearing it. I'm going to do it 3 or 4 times, then you get it again. You're getting it. You're seeing what I'm driving at. That's the reason for the big flap. That's the reason that there's a lot of argument. Because some people are still holding on to the old ministry. I think a lot of shepherds would be wise to become teachers. If you're hearing what I'm trying to say. In other words, they should be working themselves out of a job, getting ready to lose the flock. In other words, a teacher always expects his crowd to graduate. And a teacher prays to God to send more people in the door than go out. But more people will not come in the door until you get people out. Because people won't come to your church until you got graduates. Until your school produces successful graduates. That's why we have MIT, isn't it? People don't go to MIT and we'll go up way in that cold north just because they like the initials MIT. They go to MIT. Why? Because they have produced successful graduates. Is that all right, Gordon? Here's a successful graduate of MIT, and you know what I'm talking about. Because we expect success from certain schools, and then we have other schools. I'm not trying to be smart aleck, but we have other schools that cause their students to become professional students, and all they do is go back for another degree. And they just keep inbreeding. You see what I'm doing? I don't know whether you're hearing anything about your denomination or not. But they keep inbreeding and saying the same story, and they have the same speakers and the same, you see? Now, if this is your thing, then you got this problem that old Jeroboam had, and then you're scared to allow the people to go out and hear something new. Mm-hmm. Because you're afraid, so what do? You inbreed. And so you sing them over again to me. Tell me the old story. Are you hearing it? And what is it? Over and over and over again, the same thing. How many have been to those places? Just the same old thing, over and over. Always afraid to go on to something else because these people will leave you. But you see, if you have the teacher spirit instead of the shepherd spirit, you won't care. Are you hearing it? Do you see the difference now? And we believe that we're in that last age, the teacher age, instead of the shepherd age. Though I'll admit there are some shepherds who would like to... Let me say it another way. No offense, but let me say, what does a shepherd do with a sheep? Well, the first thing he does is fleece them. And then he cooks them and eats them. Come on now. How many know some shepherds been fleecing the sheep? Yeah, right down to the skin. All right. I'm not trying to be smart aleck against the shepherds. Hear me. Jesus Christ was the chief shepherd. Now don't be smart aleck against the shepherds. Jesus was the chief shepherd. And he appointed shepherds over his flock to turn the lambs into sheep. But he appointed teachers over the prince and princess to turn them into sons of God, kings and priests. Do you follow this? Okay. Let's keep going now. Well, anyway, Dan and Ephraim had something in common, and they had the golden calves. The golden calves produced the false priests, and Ephraim, that is Dan, produced the false priests, and Ephraim, through his golden calf, produced the false kings. Now, we know that the priests should be from the Levites. Someone turn to Numbers chapter 1, verse 49. Anybody find it?
Yeah.
Somebody read it real loud. Read it, Gordon.
Only thou shalt not number the tribe of Levi.
The tribe of what, Gordon?
Levi,
go ahead.
Neither take the sum of them among the children of Israel.
Why? Keep reading.
But thou shalt appoint the Levites over the tabernacle of testimony, and over all the vessels thereof, and over all things that belong to it. They shall bear the tabernacle, and all the vessels thereof, and they shall minister unto it, and shall encamp round about the tabernacle.
Who shall be God's priests? Levi. The tribe of Levi, did they receive any inheritance? My friends, Levi received no inheritance. This is an important thing with me, and I don't know whether it's going to change very soon now, whether Levi will ever get an inheritance or not. But back in the old days, Levi's inheritance was God. Is that right? The Levites had an inheritance whose inheritance was God. I don't know why it is, but in my own life, it seems like I cannot get an inheritance. It seems like that every time I try to purchase something, like a land or a field or something that I can hold on to, have a little security, God pulls it right out from under me because I must find that my inheritance is what? Now, in the natural realm, this is very hard for David Ebal because you have to understand he was brought up during the Depression. And what does he need? Any Depression baby needs what?
Security.
Needs security. So what does God do? He keeps putting me under situations where my security must be in God. Where every time I get a little money, instead of being able to buy a piece of land, I have to publish a book. You follow what I'm driving at? And so there it goes, and it seems to me like that every once in a while, whenever I do start to get something in the form of security, like a nice car, bumped up. It's an eternal thing. It just goes on with me forever. I just cannot put my faith, hope, and trust in any of the world systems. Oh, I would love to have that 10 acres. You know the one I'm talking about. Those kind of things. And I'd like to say something else about inheritance. My father died a year and a half ago, almost 2 years now, and I did get an inheritance. I got a tremendous legacy from my father. I got his carpenter's tools. And this was my inheritance from my father, and I'm not diminishing it one bit, but this is it, and this is a total of my inheritance, because I still have his hammer, I have his crowbar, I have a nail puller. Oh, I was hoping I'd get that nail puller. The way it worked out, my brother and I went down to the basement, and we, took turns choosing the tools. And I'd like to say this, praise God, I got every tool I wanted. I don't know whether I was smart or he was dumb, but it just seemed like that every one of the tools, I got his Yankee screwdriver. Does anybody know what that is? It's a very, very important and a very expensive screwdriver in the construction trades and so forth. And I got the hammer that got me all the way through school, that drove the nails, that built the house, that where Paul got the money to send David to school. Do you follow what I'm driving at? I got that hammer. And, of course, that hammer has a very sacred and special place in my arrangement of the tools now. I also got his saws, and I'll tell you, those are some saws. I got a handsaw there that my dad used when he was a carpenter, the likes of which will beat a lot of the power saws today. It just goes through wood like butter. You know, it's sharpened, and the teeth are set just perfectly like a good carpenter would have. And so I praise the Lord for all these things. But it just seems to me that maybe someday Levi will be able to get a natural inheritance as well, some place he can call home. But until then, he has to travel in a motorhome. You remember in the old days, they had the tents and so forth, and they had to just keep going. Now, I'm not complaining. Please do not misunderstand me. My inheritance is God. And I'd like to say this. When I was an engineer, my inheritance was the natural realm. Things were great. But since I've gone to the spiritual realm, my inheritance is much better. When I was an engineer, a supervisor of engineers, I couldn't afford to even go across the continent. Now that I'm living by faith, we go around the world. See the difference? Not only do we go around the world, but hallelujah, I take the family with me. And man, that's great, you know, if you can afford to take your family with you. But when we take our family with us, we found out we can't afford it, but we'll always pay the bill after we get back. Because God's our inheritance. If I could trust, you know, God for the money ahead of time, I would be a lot more secure. But it seems like I always have to trust God for the money after the trip. And whether you heard that or not, but that's just the way it is for now. Well, anyway, where was I? Gordon has just read that the Levites were the priests, and they're the ones that had the ministry. Now let's read some more. We find out that the Levites should be the priests. Would you read me Genesis 49:10, that the kings have to come from Judah? Genesis 49:10. Back to Genesis for just a minute. Hope I'm not causing you to flip your Bible too much. Hope you don't wear it out. What's it say in 49:10? Go ahead and read it, Gordon.
The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come and unto him. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. That's what we read before.
Right. Now, under Shiloh, under Jesus Christ, under the Prince of Peace, under the branch, not only the vine but the branch, shall the gathering of the people be. So we find out now that the scepter has departed from Judah, and now the ruling class comes from Joseph, the fruitful bough, a bough by a well, whose branches, I'm in verse 22, run over the wall. Verse 23, the archers have surely grieved Joseph, and shot at him, and hated him. But his bow bone and strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel, even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, and blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breasts, and blessings of the womb. The blessings of thy father prevailed above the blessings of thy progenitors under the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of him that was separate from his brethren.
Please stop your machine and turn cassette over.